Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Hello, I'm Geraint Thomas.
And I'm Tom Fordyce.
And you've just entered the Geraint Thomas Cycling Club, brought to you by Zwift.
Jump on your Zwift Hub 1 and jump into Zwift.
Welcome along.
Oh, hello, G, and a very happy Christmas to you.
Hello, Tom. I think we should maybe let our listeners into a little secret, though. And we're actually recording this before Christmas. But let's just pretend that we've just enjoyed the best Christmas day ever.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, in that case, without getting too tangled up in the tenses, will you ride your bike on Christmas Day?
No. I used to when I was younger, but obviously I'm in Max now. And as I said in the pod, he's 4, so he's proper excited. So yeah, Christmas Day I'll be fully on, in the house, enjoying life. But so I've run you through what we do then.
Yes, please.
Okay, so morning, we're mixing up a bit this year. We're having a bit of, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but a bit of an open house style thing. Just mentioned it to a few people, you know, come over for an hour if you want in the morning. So people are going to drop in. Sal's already bought the canapes.
Nice.
They're ready to go. Yeah, I'm on cocktail duty, as I am most years. So
dangerous.
Yeah, I was thinking for this though, right? Just maybe just doing some sort of Christmas punch. Bit easier then, isn't it?
Just one bowl, isn't
it? People. Yeah, exactly. And maybe a Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary would be nice, wouldn't it?
Are you going to make the Bloody Marys individually? I think you probably have to. You can't really have a bowl of Bloody Mary because it just looks like tomato soup.
Yeah. No, I think I'll have to make them individually, but it's kind of it's like Marmite, isn't it? I think a lot of people, it's a love-hate thing. Sal loves a tomato soup, hates a Bloody Mary, so.
Really? What about the celery? The celery puts people off, doesn't it?
Oh, I love a bit of celery in there.
Do you?
Yeah, I had one in LA recently, and they put a bit of steak sauce in there.
Oh, steak sauce? Good.
Yeah.
These Americans.
So a bit of steak sauce, a bit of Worcestershire sauce as well. They didn't know how to say it.
Worcester.
Yeah. But any other suggestions of cocktails then, Tom? I try and mix it up. I try a different one every year, but
you can't go wrong with a nice G&C on Christmas Day, can you?
That's true. That is true.
Old fashioned. I mean, you're not gonna win the awards for inventiveness, but you're gonna leave a lot of very happy punters.
Yeah, but it's quite early though as well though, isn't it? 10:30 to sort of 12:30.
What about a little Prosecco something? A little Prosecco on peach juice?
Yeah. Is that a mimosa?
Potentially.
Never know that, innit? Yeah. Just sounds a bit... Yeah, I might do mimosas then. That's pretty easy, innit? I'll do a punch. Actually, there'd be a lot then, wouldn't it? A punch. Keep forgetting what it's called. Bloody Mary. And a mimosa. Yeah. Pwah. I won't remember having Christmas dinner, will I, at this rate? So what do you have for Christmas dinner then, Tom? being a veggie and all that?
Well, it's changed over the years. At one point, I had something disgusting called a tofurkey, which I honestly do not recommend. And now, because I'm a slightly cheaty fish-eating vegetarian, I generally have a nice bit of fish. Might be a nice bit of trout, something like that. Turbot, I had one year. That was very, very
Turbot.
Nice. Turbots. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because some people don't really like turkey. I really don't like Brussels sprouts. But you have to have some elements of a traditional Christmas lunch. You can't just ditch the whole lot. Otherwise, it's no longer Christmas lunch.
Yeah. Oh, I love everything, mate. Bang it all up.
Yeah?
You miss out on pigs in blankets as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah, but I see the pleasure others take from pigs in blankets. Have you seen the ones that are like a giant wheel of pigs in blankets? Rather than that little individual one, imagine like a non-moving Catherine wheel, which is like a giant pig and a giant endless rotating blanket.
Hey? I can't picture that.
Imagine like a spiral. So right. the pig in blanket starts in the middle. And
oh.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm with you now. Yeah, there's sausages that are like that, isn't it?
Maybe, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And then they just put the bacon in it.
But the issue is then you almost have to have like a slice, like a triangular shaped slice of pigs in blanket.
Pigs in blanket pizza.
It is a little bit, yeah.
Oh, nice. Might have to look into that, Tom. Yeah, a bit of everything. We have beef as well, because our doesn't like turkey, so bang it all on. Away you go. Cheese and stuff. Do you have cheese afterwards, evening?
I think you've got to, because you're so full, but you feel like you should eat something. So you need something that's big on taste and mouthfeel, but low on gut space.
Exactly, yeah. A bit of port. Do you have port? You've got to have port with that.
I like a port, like a liqueur.
Yeah. That's when like you're playing the games, isn't it? When you've got the port games come out, get on the port and cheese. Oh, lovely.
You've got to maintain a level, haven't you, after a certain point with the booze, where it's just a very fine line, where no one wants you playing that board game where you're shouting at mother-in-law Beth. But, you know, you've got to have some energy so you can compete with Beth, so you don't need to be sober.
Exactly, yeah. And, well, to be honest, Beth's the worst board game player I've ever come across, so that's fine. But there's been times when I've woken up and I've still had my Christmas lunch cracker hat on. What's it called? You know, the crown thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've had some big ones. I tell you, when my mum woke up in the morning as well and the Christmas pudding was still in the oven.
Still cooking?
That was a big Christmas. I think the oven was off, but the Christmas pudding was just in there. Oh, right, yeah, we didn't have that.
A bit of a breakfast.
That's the cocktails for you at half 10.
Now, today is a little cheeky bonus episode, so why don't you introduce this one?
Yes, so this is with Anthony Shriver, CEO and founder of Best Buddies, which is a charity that I rode with it was about 4 or 5 days, actually, over in LA. Yeah, it's the first time I've done anything with them, but they've been working with cyclists for a long time. It's one of their main ways of, generating some cash for the charity. So Froomey's done quite a bit with them in the past. Camworth, which is the main reason I sort of got introduced to them. And it was a great couple of days riding around and, you know, doing it all for charity as well makes it a lot easier. Top, really interesting guy, actually. He's got he's a great nephew of JFK.
Whoa.
Yeah, which afterwards I was like, why didn't I go on about more like that, asking more questions about that? We didn't really go into that in too much detail, but lots of members of his family are pretty well known and done some pretty cool stuff. So, a nice bonus pod for everyone around Christmas.
Lovely. Let's have a listen.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
So today we've got a special bonus for our GTCC listeners. We're here in Westlake for Best Buddies Breakaway Camp, and I'm joined by the founder, chairman, and CEO of Best Buddies, Anthony Shriver.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here with you.
Yeah, it's my very first Best Buddies event, and I heard a lot about it from Cam and obviously through me. Magnus Sheffield does some, Tom Pidcock. Yeah. So cycling's a big part of it.
Yeah, huge, huge.
Why cycling for a start?
I love it. So it's always good to go with what your passion is. The history of it is, my mother was quite ill when I was a kid. So we always rode on a bike, on a tandem bike.
Okay.
And two persons. And, I would tow her along behind me. And when I had this kind of concept for Best Buddies originally in cycling, I thought we would do a cycling event that all had tandem bikes in it.
Yeah.
It exemplifies everything that we do, supporting people with intellectual development disabilities, sort of helping them, move along, and on a tandem bike, you can kind of tow them along and have them participate. So we began with all these tandem races, and we put celebrities on bikes with people with intellectual disabilities, Tom Brady and the great Olympic athlete Carl Lewis.
So Tom Brady rode a tandem.
He rode a tandem. We used to have a tandem race.
And, wow. He's big as well, right?
He's big. He's 6'4".
Yeah,
6'4". And makes me look short, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's like 190-something in European money. So
yeah,
that's tall, man. Yeah.
He's really tall when he stands on his wallet, too. So that makes a big difference. But yeah, so it sort of started with that. And then I grew into jumping on my own bike. And, I thought it would be a great way to bring in a whole new network of supporters. And, the camaraderie of cycling, as you know, is incredible. The social aspect of cycling is incredible. We thought it would be a great way for us to raise money and awareness and showcase the talents of people with intellectual disabilities in a different way.
Yeah.
Get them on a bike, show them they can ride 100 miles, they can give a great speech at our big after party. It's become a multi-million dollar event for us. And we raised hundreds of millions of dollars in the cycling world, literally. Just with Tom Brady, we probably generate $100 million with our event alone in Boston.
That's unreal.
Huh? Yeah. So we continue on an annual basis to probably generate $15, $20 million in cycling. Mm. We raise almost $100 million a year now.
Yeah.
But cycling, is a good, 10, 15, 20% of the business. And it's a great way to, cultivate. There's a whole network of, really strong, smart CEOs that are passionate about cycling. Mm. When you get someone on a bike and you start talking to them, it's very different than pitching them to get involved going to their office.
Yeah.
So it changes the game entirely. You ride a bike with someone for a couple of hours and they almost can be your best friend.
Yeah.
It's just been so great for us on so many different levels. And it also obviously, goes back to something I love doing. So it's a great way to build a business and do something you love.
Yeah. So for people that don't know, you've already touched on it a bit, but Best Buddies was, why did you set it up to start with?
And all
of it.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, as some of your listeners may know, Special Olympics is an organization my mother started in the 60s. Special Olympics is in 150 countries now all over the world. They sort of serve 4 or 5 million athletes a year.
Oh, I didn't realize some of them stopped.
Yeah, she started it. Now backyard, I grew up on a farm and she used to bring in school buses. People with intellectual disabilities, and we did track and field on our lawn. We did a swimming program in our pool, and she had a whole network of athletic activities for people with special needs in the 60s. I also had an aunt named Rosemary Kennedy, President Kennedy's sister, who I was very close to, had a great friendship with, and learned a lot from her. And She used to come live with me for 2 months a year in Florida when she was alive. And it's one of the reasons President Kennedy was so passionate about people with intellectual disabilities. He's the first president to ever have a child with Down syndrome into the White House. You know, he created the President's Committee on Intellectual Development and Disabilities in the 60s when he became president to focus on research and care for people with intellectual disabilities. So, you know, it was a combination of Special Olympics, you know, my Aunt Rosemary, I had a great relationship with, you know, my family's been super passionate about this issue for a long time. And I thought, you know, there's a big void for getting young people involved in service. And I really thought that if I did it well at college, it, you know, kind of transform people's college experience and create a whole different culture of types of people that are graduating from college if they are giving back and they're serving. And they're focusing on this particular population and stick with them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. So it's basically trying to get, you know, a normal, so to speak, life almost, you know, like a social life.
I mean, creating friendships for them, you know, where do we go if we don't have any friends? You know, it creates a whole social network for them.
Mm.
So we have that program, it's called Best Buddies. Our friendship program, we're in about 3,000 schools creating mentoring relationships. Then we have a housing program where they live in integrated housing facilities. We have an incredible jobs program. We find good, solid, competitive jobs in the community.
Mm.
You know, if you don't have a job, it's pretty hard to live. You got a job, you ride your bike. Have a job, you're our best buddies. You know, it's if you don't have a way to earn income, pay taxes, a place to go, it's pretty hard to feel good about yourself and have a good quality life. So I think employment is the sort of big frontier for us right now. The unemployment rate for people with intellectual disabilities is about 84% in the United States, higher when you get out of the United States. And so it's really a huge issue. And when we have success in the job space, it's, you know, transformative for a person's life.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, we had the buddy here last night and he's got a job at Lululemon. He goes there every day. You know, he has something to do. You need a reason to wake up, get out of the house, put on a jacket, put on a tie, you know, show up, be there. So the jobs program is great. And then we have a whole leadership program where we train them to become self-advocates and speak for themselves, give speeches, you know, present. I think it's so key to be able to present to, you know, the general population that people with intellectual disabilities have real talent and ability. Yeah. And with the right support, if we are able to, through Best Buddies, support them, they can realize their full potential. They can get a job. They can fall in love. We have people now in Best Buddies that get married. They have children.
Mm.
They live independently. You know, they have a whole network of friends. You know, they drive their own cars, some of them. So, you know, the potential is enormous with the right support. You know, I don't know anybody that's successful starting with me, or I'm sure you've had some mentors along the way, great social network, people giving you opportunity. That if you didn't have that, you wouldn't be where you are. You wouldn't have won a Tour de France. You know, if nobody does anything alone, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So people with intellectual disabilities certainly can't do it alone. So.
Yeah, it's great the work because we, you know, last night was the first night at this camp on it. And as I say, my first Best Buddies and kind of went around the room and heard the stories of why people are here.
Yeah.
And some like a real personal connection, you know, at like, you know, learning difficulties in the family or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, from my side, I was just like, yeah, it's great to sort of, I said, you know, once you have a kid, it kind of, I don't know, you realize there's more to life than just trying to win a bike race.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's great to support something like this. And, but yeah.
But when you win a bike race, it gives you a lot of opportunity to do so many other things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It gives you a good platform and people, you know, just our culture, our country, or the world, really. You know, if you have success in those arenas, it gives you so many opportunities to have impact and influence.
Mm.
And so many people don't use that in a valuable, important way. So it's nice that you know, take the time and you have the interest to use your platform in a positive way to contribute back to society. There's many people, you know, make a lot of money or they win a lot of medals or whatever they do and they don't do anything with it. So it's a waste of a gift from God, right?
Yes,
so it's nice that you have the recognition and understanding to do something with what your talent is.
Yeah. So how did Tom Brady get into it then? That's crazy, 100 million.
Yeah, well, you know, he got in, you know, over 20 years ago when he just was getting started in New England.
Yeah.
We got him engaged in the early days. He actually rode a bike in those days. And the 100-mile ride, we also have a 20-mile ride. He rode the 20-mile ride. And then he did the tandem races every year. Yeah, it was good. So he, you know, he got involved with that and started doing the tandem. And then he became the chairman of the event. And we started a football game at Harvard Stadium, and he became the permanent quarterback.
Yeah, so Cam was telling me about this.
Yeah, so it was awesome.
How does that work? People just
paid to play.
Paid to,
yeah.
Like full on match, like.
Yeah, so it was a 100-yard field. Tom would be the quarterback on both sides. We had a buddy on each team. People would come in for a quarter apiece.
Yeah.
They would pay $25,000 to $50,000 to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd catch a football from Tom, and it was exhilarating. We would have, like, the whole, you know, pep talk in the locker room, and they'd go in the locker room at Harvard. And he'd come in. He'd bring a bunch of the other, you know, Patriots to play, too. So Gronkowski would come, or Edelman would come, and, you know, Wes Welker was a big receiver he had in those days. And we had a lot of great New England Patriots player. Teddy Bruschi was big. He used to come. And so it was really fun and exciting. We used to get a bunch of people in the stands to watch and raise a ton of money, create a lot of media, got the buddies out there and showcasing their talent on the field. And he developed relationships with a lot of the participants. He got a buddy of his own that he kind of keeps in touch with.
Mm.
He's had for 20 plus years. So it's a great way to showcase, you know, like his talent and get him involved and get the public to see him in a really public way. So he would do that on Friday, and then Saturday would be the ride. And he'd come down and do the ride and do the race. We'd shoot some PSAs with him. And then we threw out footballs. We used to have about 1,500 people under a tent.
Yeah.
And sign the balls and throw them out, and we raise $1,000 off each ball.
Wow.
And we just did it last week in Miami, threw it out. It was a full gala. But, you know, it gets pretty crazy because, you know, a lot of people drop the ball and the ball hits the table and glasses fall all over the place. So it's a little risky, and the wine goes all over the place.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious. And sometimes when that happens, yeah, have a hard time not laughing myself. Tom kind of looks at me and kind of laughs a little bit himself too, because it creates a lot of action. But, you know, like a frenzy, people want the ball. We play loud music. We start throwing them all over the place.
Yeah.
When he throws it far, it's really coming fast.
Oh, I can imagine.
Most people drop it.
Well, if you end up coming to Wales, we'd do that, but with rugby instead.
Yeah, rugby balls.
We'll have a little game. I'll get George Knott. He's a good mate of mine. He's like, he's not quite Brady standard, but he's big.
Yeah.
He's quick. And
Yeah, because rugby's the big sport in Wales, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are so tough.
Yeah. There's no padding in that sport.
But. Yeah, wow. I played a little bit. Well, I went to Brown University in the United States before I went to Georgetown and played rugby for a little while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a really tough sport.
Yeah.
Wow. Hitting and the injuries are just unreal.
Yeah, I played in school till I was about 13, 14. Yeah. And then everyone started growing, and I was like winning a bit of money on the weekend racing my bike. I was like, I'm going to go on the bike.
Yeah.
That was a good group we got here.
Yeah, I think some of them are super fit, right?
Yeah.
Strong, some of them.
Yeah, a lot from like Miami way as well.
Miami, Boston. We got a couple from New York. Yeah. And, you know, some of them are, you know, super successful, really, you know, big. And like that one guy's the CEO of Wells Fargo. It's one of the biggest banks in the United States. And,
yeah.
You know, we've got some people that are, you know, really successful in your space, which is what I was saying. You know, this sport really attracts people often because, you know, if you're going to be out there grinding for, you know, 3-4 hours and you're doing it during the week, you got to wake up early. I mean, people that are waking up early, working out early, you know, those people are usually successful. And, you know, they're not people that are like sleeping in and, you know, lazy. You know.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes together. I think the people that cycle and they cycle consistently are usually pretty successful.
Yeah,
I find. And people that are getting up and getting after it, you know, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, you know, then usually carries over in their business life.
Mm.
So it's a great way to attract those kinds of people and get them to do more.
I struggle to get up at 5 or 6 in the morning.
You struggle. Yeah. You guys on the train at like 10, right?
Yeah. But well, since coming over here, though, with the jet lag, it's quite easy to get the rhythm of getting to ride at 7 or something.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Time change.
Yeah. We've had a lot of like celebs over the years as well, helping
participate.
Right?
Yeah. We've had an incredible collection. We've been really lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady's a, you know, big one, but, you know, we've had, I mean, Carl Lewis is one of the great, at least for the United States, he's probably the biggest Olympic athlete in track and field we've ever had. He won 9 gold medals.
Mm.
He's been involved longer than Brady, 30 plus years.
Yeah.
But we've had, you know, on and on, Muhammad Ali was really involved when he was alive. Yeah. We've had, you know, countless basketball celebs and stars. Bill Chamberlain used to come to a lot of our events. Yeah. And he's one of the great basketball players of all time. Bill Russell was around in the early days. We had a lot of them. You know, countless other football players participated. We've had, you know, huge movie stars over the years that participated.
What would they play the football or would they?
No, they would, you know, just, I think they, we would try to get them to do things that kind of connected with things that they had interest in.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, a lot of them, you know, whether it was an NBA guy, we would try to do a basketball game. Kyrie Irving was, had been involved a lot. He plays now for the Dallas Mavericks. He was, you know, the number one draft pick a few years ago. So we did a basketball thing with him. So, you know, the movie stars just show up because everybody would get excited if the movie star is big enough. Or yeah. You know, we've done, you know, movie premieres with some of them. They'd have a great movie and we'd do a party around the opening of their movie and we'd raise money through that. You know, we did a couple of my brother-in-law, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the past brother-in-law. You know, he obviously was a huge movie star. We used to do stuff around with him. He came to our ride one year and rode a couple of times. He was governor of California.
Yeah.
So that created a lot of attention.
How does he ride? He's a bit
not well,
big, no?
Not well.
Yeah. Brown deer.
Yeah, not well at all. On a hybrid bike and very slow. Yeah, but, you know, we've just gotten, we've been lucky, you know, to get a lot of attention from a lot of different people. And
did 50 Cent do something with you as well?
He performed last year for us in Hyannisport at that event, concert. It's quite a show, quite a scene. He's a unique guy, that's for sure. But he's got a lot of hits, and I think, you know, it creates a lit. I mean, I think what we try to do with Best Buddies is always create value for people that come so they feel like they're getting something in return. It's not always a one-way street where we're asking, help.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm really big on trying to, yeah, we want your support, but we want you to have an experience. We want you to have value. We want you to feel great. And we want you to have an experience you remember and you want to come back for. So it's like the camp, you know, trying to create an experience here that not only helps Best Buddies, but, you know, gives you an incredible cycling experience or they can ride with like a guy like you that's got a great reputation and has won the Tour de France and, you know, and they can help Best Buddies, but they get great food and they get great SAG support and, you know, they get massages and they get the boots and the legs and, you know, they, you know, it's like, you know, creating a five-star experience for people. So they want to come back, they want to do more and they're invested and they don't think we're always taking and always asking that it's a, you know, where it's a mutually beneficial experience. I think those are the ones that last, right?
Yeah.
If it's always just for us, it doesn't last. Somebody might help for 1 year or do something on a one-off, but I think, you know, the key to the success is it's got to be a win-win for everybody. And I think that's really our motivation. And I think that's why we've been able to keep a lot of the celebrities, you know, keeping Tom Brady through his whole career for 20 plus years has been, you know, really a huge accomplishment for the organization.
Well, I got to say, at that stop today, I'd come back just for those chicken burritos.
I know, you and everybody else, right? They were home, man.
So, like, basically, for the people back home, it was basically, instead of rice cakes, you had, it was like a chicken and avocado or bean burrito one.
Black beans.
Yeah, chicken, like little white size things.
Those little ones. Right. The rest stops.
At the rest stops.
Yeah.
And then what else was there? There was like a blueberry pie.
And then we had the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah,
the rice cakes were probably the least tasty of everything.
Yeah, I was going to take a picture, send it to my Swanee back home.
Yeah, totally get it together.
Mate, this is what we need in it. So
step up his game.
Yeah.
You know, we try to make it first class. I don't know what they're like on at other camps you've been to. Or I mean, you guys must really do it first class at your training camps, right? The nutrition must be great.
Yeah, but as I say, it's a lot more sort of, it's fuel rather than tasting good and fuel. You know what I mean? It's more just like, right, it's efficient. It does taste all right, but it's nothing like what we have.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then when you're doing the races, it's, they do mix it up. They make a lot of different flavored rice cakes, but, you know, apricot or strawberry or...
But it's all rice cakes?
Yeah, mainly. Yeah. Maybe a panini. So, but
I haven't cheese in that. The rice cakes are that nutritional for when you're racing?
I think just because they're so plain and basic, so it's easy to digest.
And they give you a lot of carbs, I mean.
Yeah. So now these days, it's the biggest change. We've said it numerous times. It's the biggest change in cycling for us, like the nutritional side. Like even 3 years ago, it was all like low carb and a lot of protein. You know, you have a 2-egg omelet and you do 6 hours on a bottle of protein. Like me and Froomey, you used to just be a little competition, really. Who could go the longest without eating a carb, you know?
Why wouldn't that make sense?
The thinking was of just, you'd make your body more efficient and burning fat and protein for energy. So then when it comes to the end of the bike race, when you need the carbohydrate, like the explosiveness, you'd burn that then. You'd kind of save your stores for then. So you'd be basically trying to make it as efficient as possible. But yeah, that was the thinking then. But now it's obviously changed. Like now racing is so much more intense all the way through that, you know, you need carbs. You can't do that, basically. So now it's gone from nothing to 120 grams an hour. You know,
of carbs.
Yeah, yeah, on big, big days. You know, that's where you try to fuel. That's where you need to train the gut for and stuff. So,
wow. And you get that all through rice cakes?
No. Rice cakes? So a lot of gels, you get a lot of drinks, you know, 20 or 40 grams in a drink.
Yeah. But you got to train your gut for those, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, it makes you sick, you mean?
Yeah.
But you get to stop when you went to go to the bathroom on the tour, don't you?
Yeah. You tend to, like, you have the start of the race is kind of a race for the breakaway. It can be go from the first attack or can go after an hour. But then basically once that breakaway is gone, it's a kind of a unwritten rule that that's when you have your pee stop. But even now with the kids.
When the breakaway goes.
Yeah.
What about the guys in the breakaway? What do they do?
Tough luck here in the breakaway. Just,
and you can't go.
No, you can kind of go try and go on the move once you've got a good gap. So you've got 4 minutes or something. You can try and go on a descent, like do it off the bike as you're moving.
Tour de France, are there people everywhere?
Yeah, that's the problem. I've got fined so much for just weeing. And
for going to the bathroom?
Yeah, in public. So you go past someone and they kind of see you having a leak.
Yeah.
I try to do it.
You get fined for that?
Yeah.
What do they want you to do? Just hold it?
Exactly. Can you speak to them for
us? I will. Give me their number. I can't hold it for 20 minutes, man. I'm going all the time. I don't even care if people see what I'm doing.
Yeah, you try and do it when there's nobody, but as you say, Tour de France is busy. And you're doing it on a little descent, you're thinking, I'm okay. You know, you get out. It takes a couple of seconds to get going. And then suddenly someone's there, like, oh, son, it'd be all right. And then, yeah, get a fine that evening. But
how much is the fine?
I don't know. It's not crazy. It's like in US in Swiss francs, around sort of 200 maybe.
Yeah.
I should know. I could find enough, but they take it out of prize money though. So the whole team sort of suffers for me.
Well, they reduce the prize money for the team.
Yeah. Yeah. So the serious stuff.
But so what do you guys win now if you win the Tour de France? The team?
450,000 for the win.
Team?
Yeah. Or for the individual. But that's not
for the winner.
Yeah.
But what about the team?
Nothing. No.
But only the winner gets it?
Yeah. So then that gets taxed in France. Oh, wow. And then you get it. And then
so you lose half of it.
Pretty much. Then you give 20% to the staff that were at the race. And then there's eight of you that do the race. So then that splits between the eight of you.
Oh, so the winner does win it.
Yeah. Okay. So you give that. Yeah, so you end up with like 30 odd grand maybe.
Wow. For winning the Tour de France.
Yeah. You want to speak to, can you speak to them about that?
Craziness.
Yeah.
Okay. People that own it they get all the money.
Yeah. Yeah. The way cycling set up is,
it's crazy, right?
You got the organizers. So ASO organizers.
They're making all the money. Right?
Yeah. Then you got the governing body. Then you got the teams. And then you got the riders who are like at the bottom, you know?
Right.
We have no say, even though we're the ones taking all the risk of doing everything. But that side of things is slowly getting better, but it's so backwards, this sport.
Yeah.
So
that's so little money.
But yeah. Hey, I'll get you his number.
Yeah.
ASO guy and UCI guy.
I can solve that for you very easily.
Yeah. Send them some Coca-Cola or something.
Yeah. I'll send Tom Brady over to negotiate it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
NFL guys now hit his equivalent where they make $55 million a year.
That's insane, isn't it? The ones that they only do it for a few years.
The quarterbacks do it a long time.
Yeah.
And they make big money now.
What was Mahomes guy? Didn't he sign like some
of this guy extension too? I mean, his original deal, I think, was $250 million. And then he just signed an extension last year. I think he's making $50 million a year now.
That's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fair play to him. Well, thanks for the chat, man.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, man. You've been awesome. And, congrats on all your success, and hopefully you'll keep going in the future.
Mm. Well, and good luck with Best Buddies. Hopefully we'll get the name out there. We'll do some events in Wales.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Riding the rain.
Yeah, riding the rain and then have a rugby match.
Yeah.
Quality.
Yeah, there you go, man. Start training now.
Yeah. All right, so appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you.
network. A place where you belong.